Psalm 23, we'll read God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Most of you probably could recite that, learned it as young. I hope I can shed a wee bit more, a few different thoughts on it than what you've maybe heard before. But before we maybe come to it, we'll just say a brief word of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just even thank you to be gathered here, Lord, tonight, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we can open your word and read from it, Lord. And it's an open book, Lord, and we can search through the truths, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that even you'll hide me behind the cross tonight, Lord. Lord, that it be seen will be Jesus only, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that anything I say will be done to your will, Lord. And Lord, that each heart will listen attentively, Lord, even and might have a word in season for each heart here tonight, Lord, including my own, Lord. And I just even thank you, Lord, for this time, short time I prepared for this here, Lord, that it even spoke to me, Lord, and even found a few more things out myself, Lord. And I just pray tonight, Lord, that you'll just come amongst us now, be one of our number, Lord, and just be with us and even enjoy our fellowship one with each other, Lord. We just ask all these things in your precious name. Amen. Psalm 23, first of all, it's a psalm of David. As you can see, it's probably written in your Bible there, a psalm of David. Just a brief introduction to it. The first 1, 2, 3 verses is David talking about God. As you can see there, the Lord is my shepherd. And as you go on into verse 4 through to 6, he's talking directly to God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's just sort of a brief end of it. I think, first of all, whenever you start looking at this here, I think you have to take into consideration who we're talking about. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, isn't it, is in bold there, which means Jehovah. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. If you understand that you're talking about the Lord here, then actually the rest of the passage will mean something to you. If you didn't pick that up at the start, I don't think it would mean anything to you. Because whenever it's the Lord, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, whenever I was younger, I mistakenly thought I shall not want, as in, I shall not want the Lord, which is obviously totally wrong, but that was my ignorance whenever I was younger. It means I shall not want, as in, the Lord is all sufficient for me. I shall not want of anything. He is able to supply my every need. It mightn't be everything that I want, as in, I might want material things. I would like to be rich, like, but it hasn't happened yet. I thought I married Helen to be rich, but that didn't happen either, so I'm just going to have to. But he'll supply everything that we need. Not everything we desire, but everything we need. That's just in verse 1. And then whenever you move on to verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Just as sheep need to lie down and rest, so do Christians. Whenever you've been out working all day and busy and all that there, and if you're, especially if you're in the public sector or whatever, you maybe don't have too many Christian friends or whatever, you know, it's nice to come and rest in God's presence. And Christians need to do that. They need to take time and rest. This could be even through your quiet time or something like that, going to church or whatever. You need time to rest. And this is what this is a picture of. You need to rest. The Christian resting and feeding and drinking on God's word. That's where you can find your rest and then even in Christian and fellowship with other Christians. I think verse 2 here, if you really look at it, it's a picture of contentment. If you look at it there, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. If you pictured a tranquil setting, you would probably picture something like nice green fields, a nice still river running by. You think that would be happiness. That's probably what paradise would be like. And I think that's what it is here. And I think that's what he's trying to say, that if you're a Christian, that's what you should feel like. You are happy, you know. But to be content, in order to gain that contentment, I think you need a few things. First of all, I think you need to be free from fear. You can gain this by the shepherd's presence makes a difference, as in Jesus makes a difference. As the sheep feel safe and secure in the shepherd's presence, so should the Christians. If you go back to olden days, maybe not so much now, but even while we were out in Romania, I seen it. Whenever the In olden days, whenever the shepherd took the sheep out, they followed him. You know, it was like they followed him to the field and they followed him home again. It's maybe different now. It's more commercialized. Everything's a lot faster and things. It's one farmer looking after so many sheep. But back then, it was probably only a farmer looking after a few sheep. They followed him about. You know, there's a word like a lamb to the slaughter, because they followed the shepherd to the slaughter. They didn't know any difference, so they just followed him about. And I think that's when they felt safest, and that's when you should feel safest, whenever you're in God's presence. You know, if you stay in his presence and are content in his presence, that's the way you'll be. It says here, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So if you're in his presence, you should feel at peace. And that means you'll be free from fear. You know, the devil will try and come along, and even whenever you're in his presence, probably even more so when you're in his presence, will try to keep upsetting you. But if you stay close to him, he can help you out, and you'll be able to fight the devil off. Because why will the devil, if somebody's in the pub drinking or whatever, why would he worry about them? He's already won them, so you're probably going to be under more attack than what they are. Also, another thing you need to do to get this contentment, you need to be fed. Hungry sheep will always be on their feet looking for food. They'll not lie down and content themselves. And it's the same for a Christian. If your mind is full of God's word, you will be able to lie down and be content. You'll meditate upon it. And as a sheep chews on his cud, and that's probably a farmer terminology coming out of me, but as lies down and chews over on its grass that it's just eaten, so a Christian should do on God's word. You know, you can't just read it. You can take that Bible and you can read it in a year. There's no problem with that. But if somebody asked you after the year, what did you think of it or whatever, but it's very easy to lift something and read it and set it down. And if I asked you 5 minutes later, what did you actually read there? You go, well, you know, I don't actually know. You know, this is a picture of, you should meditate on it. You should chew on it. You should think about it. What was God trying to say to me there? What, you know, what can I learn from this? What can I take away from it? How can I apply this to my life? That's how you can be fed from God's word. You're also going to be free from fainting. You know, you need water. Everybody needs water. Every living thing needs water. And water is often linked to the Holy Ghost. You need to pray that the Holy Ghost will come and water the word before we feed upon it. Drinking the right water will quench your thirst. So if you're drinking from God's word and it is watered before the Holy Ghost, you come to it in the right presence and the right frame of mind, it'll quench your thirst, you know. And also you need to follow the shepherd. He is your key to contentment. He will lead you to the right pastures, to the right water. He will lead you to the right place because he loves and cares for you. If you're the devil, he'll lead you to the muddy waters. Oh yes, he'll lead you to the places where there's fulfillment for a night, but it'll never fulfill you for what God will fulfill you for. It'll just be no fulfillment out of it. Looking on there to verse 3, says, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord has a people which he owns, which was purchased by his blood on the cross. He is able to redeem the sinner. In verse 3, we have the righteousness of God. Our restoration is in Christ. You see, God let David, like other Christians, fall into sin, but they do not have to lie in it. In other words, if you sin, you can sin, but God doesn't scribble your name out of the book of life and say you're not getting back in because of that. He doesn't do that. Everybody sins. You're born in sin, and you'll never be good enough. Everybody sins every day. But if you have a repentful heart for your sin, now it's different if you walk away and say, "Oh, God lets me sin. That's fine. You know, I'm just going to go on and sin again." That's different now. But if you have a repentful heart, God will forgive you. He'll let you come back to him if you come back and ask his forgiveness. You know, he's also there to instruct and direct us by his word. You know, you could sin. Somebody might say to you, you know, you're doing something wrong there. Well, it's good to go and look at his word and see, are you doing it actually wrong? Is this person right, you know? You know, God is always with us, no matter where we go. And you should think about that there. If we just quickly turn over, just to prove this point, if you quickly turn over to Psalm 139. Sorry if I'm rushing this a bit, but smell that pizza coming. Psalm 139. I'm only going to read a few verses just to prove my point here. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. For thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there, and if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Well, maybe just stop at that there. But that just shows you that God is with you no matter where you go. Should you sin, God is still there. He hasn't left your side. He's willing to forgive you for that sin. He's willing to just, if you repent. But I think, if you think about that just on a side note, God is with you wherever you go. I think you could use that. Mum always used to say it to me as a child, and I've maybe told you this before. If you're going to somewhere and you don't know whether you should be going there or not because you don't know where it's right as a Christian to go there, it's a good thing, and I've always found it a good thing. Can you take God in with you? Because you certainly can't leave him at the door. So, can you walk into that place and know that God can come in with you? And secondly, if God was to return, if Jesus was to return, and he had to come looking for you in that place, would you feel embarrassed to be there? You walk through the door and there you were sitting. For instance, you could go into a pub and say, oh, but I'm not drinking. But if God walked through the door, would you go, oh my word, look where he's found me. I shouldn't be here. And if that's the case, then you shouldn't have been there. You shouldn't have been there whether you think it's right or not. You know, if your conscience tells you that that's not the place to be, you shouldn't be there. Because you definitely can't leave God at the door if you're a Christian, because he's with you wherever you are. And it's a great comfort for the believer in other ways to know that he's always there. Because I often hear people saying that the people, and this is a morbid thought, but people that are in hospital dying, the most content person is the Christian, because he knows that this isn't the end. This is the end of the body, but it's not the end for the soul, that he knows he's somewhere else to go. And it's great to know that God is always with you no matter where you are. If you're laying on your deathbed or whatever, he's always there. Moving on to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How do we react when trials come? You see, the valleys in Israel were susceptible to flooding, sudden storms and winds. This is like the Christian. The Bible teaches that in the world we will have tribulations because we are not of this world. So in other words, you could be having the high, you could be walking with Jesus, having a great time, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in the valley. Things start going wrong, things happen. You don't understand why, but that's you in the valley. But we can see and take great comfort that God will bring us through them. God gave us the promise that he will be with us. To be in a shadow in the valley actually means that there has to be light, because you can't have a shadow without light. That means that God is your light. God is shining above you. Yes, there's a shadow there. But a shadow can't harm you. Just an illustration of that. A shadow of a sword can't kill you. You might be in the shadow, but that's not. There's a light there to help you through it. But while going through the shadows, we need to draw close into God, because trials often come while in the shadows. If you are near the shepherd, he can protect you with his rod and his staff, as David talks about. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, in a shepherd can use his rod for a few things. First of all, the shepherd uses his rod to examine his sheep. He can catch the sheep with the end of a staff, with a hook on the end of it. He does this for a couple of reasons. To make sure that they are his, first of all. Isn't it great to know that you are God's and that he is willing to recognize you as his? Know that if you're in through the trouble, that God's there and he's going to recognize you as being his. Also, he uses it to correct his sheep. So if you come close to God, you draw in close, and you start to stray away, because that's usually whenever a sheep or something gets lost, whenever it starts to stray, and it's the same with a Christian, if you start straying away from God's word, that's usually whenever you start to go on the backslidden state, you know, you start to draw away. And sometimes God corrects you with his stick, maybe puts you in the valley, but maybe being on your back, as somebody used to say to me, being on your back makes you look up to heaven, and maybe that's what it took. Maybe to correct you was to put you on your back to make you look up at God. But also the staff is to protect the sheep. If you're close to him and he has the staff, if a wild beast comes along, he can hit it with his staff or whatever. You know, he can protect you with it at the same time. Moving on to verse 5. David says that he prepares the table. You see, God provides for us all that we need and much more than that. You notice God prepared the table. He just didn't put anything upon it. God will meet you at the point of your need. In other words, God just doesn't see a sea of people and whatever. He sees you as an individual person. He knows the very hair in your head. He's willing to meet you at the point of your need, and he'll supply everything that you need. Not what Bob needs, not what David needs. If it's you, he'll supply your needs. Also notice that besides from feeding him, he also anoints his head with oil. Back in the days when Jesus, or back in the days of the Psalms, when the shepherd brought the sheep back to the fold, he checked them for wounds and weariness and things got there. And he kept a pouch of oil, which he poured onto the wounds to soothe and heal it. And God's willing to do that too. God will not just feed you, but he will also help you comfort in times of trouble. He'll give you comfort, sorry, in times of trouble. He's willing to pour oil on the wounds and help you back, put his loving arms around you. But also notice, his cup runneth over in that verse. You see, when you go to God, he will never say, I have nothing more to give you. Isn't that a great to know that God is all sufficient? You know, that he's never going to say, whenever you get to heaven and you come up to him and say, Lord, teach me something more. He's going to say, I can't teach you anything more. That's it. I have nothing more to give you. God can just keep giving and giving and giving. He's just amazing, you know. Like he gives you, your cup will just runneth over, you know. There's that much, you'll not be fit to hold it all. And it's nice to know that. No bother. Alright. I just hope mine's in silent. But he's able to fill you with his grace and his love more than your cup will ever be able to hold. Moving then on to verse 6. I'm sorry if this sounds a wee bit like rambling, but I'm just keeping moving here. I honestly don't know how a minister can take a verse and preach for 30 minutes on it, or maybe even in one word in that verse, and then say at the end of it, I've run out of time. Verse 6. It says there, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David says here that God will pour out goodness and mercy all the days of his life. This is a promise to the believer. God will look after. This is a promise to the believer that God will look after you and will never leave you no matter what. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So all the days you and me are on this earth, no matter where and when you are, God is with you. But notice here that David ends by saying, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David knew that when he died, it was only his body died, but not his soul. He was going to be with Christ in heaven. His body was dead, but his soul lives forever. Or maybe one day his body will be gathered up with him. But if you're not saved tonight, you don't have that comfort. You don't know that God's going to lead you through the valley. You don't know that God's going to look after you. You don't know that he's going to fill your cup that it runneth over. You don't know that he's going to supply everything that you need. You can face tomorrow knowing that God's going to look after you. If you don't have Christ, yes, you might think tomorrow's going to be okay, but God helps you through things. And I just pray, if there is anybody, an unbeliever, I don't know everybody in this room, if there is an unbeliever in this room, that you'd come to know my God and the rest of the people's God in here, that he's all loving and he's all sufficient and everything that we need.